And this time when they did an altar call, I raised my hand, I stood up, and I professed Jesus as my Lord. And I mean, my life was never the same after that.
Today is your day to hear good news. You can live the life you've always dreamed of. There is someone ready to love and care for you. Let's join Kenneth Copeland for today's Believer's Voice of Victory.
Open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 8. Look at the 7th verse very carefully. Therefore, as you abound, now you notice the word thing, everything, the word thing there is in italics. That means the translator put it in there, and that means we can take it out. Amen. Because there are times that trying to, they add or and so forth in an attempt to clear things up. When you find one of those, you need to go back and read that verse or that sentence or whatever without that word and see how it affects what God's saying here. Therefore, as you abound in everything, or therefore, as you abound in every faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and your love to us. Now notice what he said there. As you abound in these things, all of these things, faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, and your love for the ministry. See that you abound in this grace also. So here was things that these were different graces that they were abounding in, but obviously there was something that they needed to abound in that they didn't know about. See that you abound in this grace also. Now go down to the 9th verse and you see what that grace is. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and His anointing, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. When did He do that? When He bore the curse. You understand? Christ was made a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles or all the rest of us through faith. Let's turn over there and look at that. I want you to put your eyes, hold your place there because we're going to come back to that. Now, this in Galatians chapter 3, this is what he's referring to. In the 13th verse, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, all the rest of us, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, that's when that happened. For you know, now I'm back in 2 Corinthians 8, 9 now. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor. Poverty is listed under the curse of the law in the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And he bore that curse. And the way you listen to some people in religious correctness talk about poverty like it is a blessing. It's a curse from hell. Never was God's idea. And ain't nobody believes that anywhere but church. That is some kind of blessing. Like God and poverty are tied together with a real short rope. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I mean exactly what I say about it, that's a hell of a thing to say about God. That's where it comes from. I don't like it. And I'll tell you something else. God don't like it. Accusing him, the creator of all things. If anybody's rich, it's God. And to treat his family like he don't want them to even have enough to wear, don't want them to have anything. What kind of an ungodly absentee father do you think he is? I don't know whether it's some kind of righteous indignation or it just teased me off. But I don't like it when you talk about my father like that. Amen. 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 And talk about my Lord like that. I mean, look at that. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God. And it's time Christian people begin to realize it and begin to walk in that grace. That's what he was telling them. You abound in faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, your love for us. You need to see to it that you abound in this grace also, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Now then, go over to the 9th chapter. Do you suppose there's some grace out there that we don't know about? Oh, yeah. I mean, look at that. You know, you abound in faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, your love for us. See that you abound in this grace also. My goodness. But look at this. In the 9th chapter, verse 8, God is able to make all grace. All of it. Ooh, I said all of it. All grace. Oh, come on. Woo, all grace. All grace. Woo, even the stuff I don't know about yet. Hallelujah. He's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having. Wait a minute. Don't jump to all yet. Always having. Wait a minute. I know always having all, but come back here to always having. Always having. Always having. We've been told we wasn't supposed to have anything. We're supposed to always have. Always have. Always have. Glory to God. Yeah. Even when other people hadn't got anything, you and I are supposed to always have. Not just for us, but for them. Amen. You know how people ought to be talking about your church? Woo, I'm going to start going over at that church. I tell you what, them people over there got something. Yeah. Well, what do they have? They always have it. They always have it what? All sufficiency. My goodness sakes alive. Always having all sufficiency in all things may abound. Grace is abounding so you can abound. when things get rough out there in the world, and when the economy is, you know, all messed up and people so confused they can't tell one end from another, it is amazing to me how much confusion can happen in one place at the same time. You can just flip through the news channels, and they'll have anywhere from one to four people, maybe five, sitting around a table, and all of them talking about the same thing. All of them talking about the politics and the economy. And they're all saying something different. Now, how are you going to fix it when everybody got a different idea? Glory and I were sitting in a restaurant one day. Oh, Glory. I tell you, we were sitting there. We just opened up the menu, and the place was crowded, and they had, and this fellow's facing the other way, sitting right behind me. And his chair wasn't but 3 or 4 inches from my chair, because I could hear every word he said. And Glory and I were sitting there looking at the menu, and this fellow's talking to the other man that he was having dinner with. And he said, "You know, it's a funny thing." And when he said, the way he was talking, I thought, well, now this may be good. He said, "It's a funny thing. You know, everybody got a different idea about that, what that soup du jour is." I couldn't take it. I broke up. I laughed. Glory went laughing at me. She said, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "Cause everybody got a different idea about what that soup du jour is." Well, that's what's happening all over the news media, man. Everybody got a different idea about the color of the dog that we all chasing here. You know what that is? That's Babylon at its best. And here we are having all sufficiency, all grace, all the time. Hallelujah. Yes. Didn't take long tonight, did it? I don't preach me happy. I'll tell you, I'm shouting happy tonight. I am shouting happy tonight. I done preached the message to me already this afternoon that God's got ready for me to preach tonight. I was high when I got here. Hey, you can get drunk on your spirit, but I'll tell you what, I'm headed on a good drunk right now on mine. The Holy Spirit. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, they thought the whole crowd was drunk. They were. Been drinking of the Holy Spirit. Well, I've been drinking from this fountain for days and days and days now. Hallelujah. And this afternoon and today and tonight I walked in. Oh, dear God, all grace. All grace. That's good news for a whosoever. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at this. This is what is so thrilling to my heart. I needed grace. Oh, so did you. But I mean, I needed grace, brother. Oh, me. Still do. And I depend on His grace. It is by faith so that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise is sure to all the seed. It's His grace. Let me give you a little word. You don't need justice. Oh, no. You don't want that. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I want it over on them. If you want it over on them, that means you're going to be judged by the same standard. You don't want that. You want grace. You understand? Well, what did I do to deserve this? Everything. Now, you know, I'm telling you, get over on the grace. Amen. His grace and His mercy endure forever. Verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers, ministry, this is a ministry. He, Jesus, what did it say over there now? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that ministers grace. He sits on the throne of grace. He ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and the multiplying of your seed sown, and the to increase the fruit of your righteousness, your right place with God, the fruit of it all. There's great fruit to be born here. By the grace of God. Hallelujah. Oh, he ministers these things. Well, he can't minister to you if you won't receive his ministry. And he's called you and me as ministers of his in the earth to minister his grace. Hallelujah. I learned a long time ago not just to believe to get me some, but to believe God to be the ministry of his anointing of increase whenever and wherever he calls for it. Oh, yeah. There's a whole lot more in that. Hallelujah. I want to be a distributor. Amen. Hallelujah. When Jesus blessed the loaves and fishes, he gave them to his disciples, and they distributed them, the word said. So the miracle happened in the hands of the staff.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just in Jesus' hand, because they were passing it out. So that multiplying increase was in their hands. It was all over them. It wasn't just in the food. It was in their hands. It is multiplying just as fast as they were handing it out. It was multiplying in the hands of the people that were feeding on it. Amen. And this is available to us today as children of God and as ministers of the gospel. All of us are ministers of the gospel. You may not be called into the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, but all of us are called to minister and to be witnesses that Jesus is alive, praise God, and you do that by walking in grace right in the middle of all the trouble and all the hard times and the bad times, and the way you break out of hard times is when you say, Jesus, I'm yours to command. I am yours all day today. Wherever I go, whatever I do, on the job, off the job, wherever I am, I'm yours, sir. I'll minister bread for the eater, seed to the sower. It didn't say bread for the hungry. It said the eater. The kingdom of God has been authorized to provide your food. Jesus said, don't even take thought about that. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear. Amen. That's the reason why it's in the covenant. He said, don't even think about that. Seek first the kingdom of God. We're talking about the kingdom here. We're talking about kingdom grace here. Seek him in the light of this grace. Volunteer as a minister of grace, a minister of bread, a minister of seed, a multiplier of seed sown. Praise God.
Before Christ, I was very empty, a very empty person. I used drugs and alcohol and wrong relationship for years. And in 1991, my third marriage broke up. There was a time in my life where I didn't even know where I was gonna live or eat, you know, have food to eat. There were times that I would stay awake all night and not be able to function the next day to take care of my children. I was living in Houston, and me and my sons, I was a single mom living with them. And I was living in a rental house. It was a 3-bedroom, and I didn't make enough money to stay in it. So I had this idea that I would look for a boarder. I would run an ad in a green sheet and advertise for a boarder.
Soon after, a gentleman answered the ad. He was a happily married Christian man in town for a short-term work assignment, needing a place to stay close to work.
He went to church every Sunday, and every Saturday night before he would, you know, be going to church that Sunday morning, he would ask us to go to church with him, and I kept telling him no, but he didn't give up, and so he finally wore me down, and I said yes. And so the next week, I went back again, and I cried all the way through that service. So on November 9th, 1991, I went into my bedroom, and I got on my knees, and I asked Jesus to save me. But I didn't feel any different. So I got up, and I went over to my friend's house, and we got drunk together. And then I, you know, woke up the next morning. I had a headache. I was hungover. So all I wanted to do was stay in bed all day. So I turned on the TV, and John Osteen was preaching. So I listened, and then when he finished, he pointed his finger and he says, "You have time to get down here." So before I knew it, I was in the shower. I was getting dressed. I was heading out the door to go to his church. And I got there and he preached the message. And this time when they did an altar call, I raised my hand. I stood up and I professed Jesus as my Lord. And I mean, my life was never the same after that.
Today, Teresa serves as a prayer minister at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, impacting lives through anointed prayers. She has been blessed with 18 years of a wonderful and godly marriage, a beautiful home, and many more fulfilling years to come.
And God used a green sheet to send a laborer to me.
Come to these exciting meetings. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland will be in Langley, British Columbia for the Canada Victory Campaign, May 12th through 14th at the Langley Events Center. The Southwest Believers Convention will be the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher invite you to Behind the Mission Weekend in Secaucus, New Jersey, September 16th and 17th. For more information, go to kcm.org.
Good friends. Just thinking about them brings a smile to your face and great memories to your mind as you think how they've touched your life. They've been there for you when you've needed them and loved you through good times and hard times. Best friends forever. What if I told you Jesus is that kind of friend? If you don't know him or you'd like to go a little deeper in your relationship, now's the time. Kenneth Copeland's teaching series, The Resurrection Truth, and his mini book, The Plan That Never Fails, will introduce you to a friendship that will last forever. Everything Jesus has done has been because he loves you and accepts you for who you are. Put an end to feelings of fear, loneliness, and rejection. Discover a love that will change everything in life for you, give you a fresh start, and get you on track to live life to the fullest. Friendship with Jesus changes it all. Start right now and get to know him as your friend.
Order The Resurrection Truth today for $10 at kcm.org. In this 2-CD series, Kenneth Copeland shares how the power of Jesus' resurrection affects you personally. You'll also receive the mini book, The Plan That Never Fails by Kenneth Copeland, free with your order. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order online. To order by phone, call 800-600-7395. For these and other ministry resources from Kenneth Copeland, go to kcm.org.
Now listen, I want to read you something here. Jesus made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, listen to this now, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He never committed a sin.
No.
But he made himself obedient to it and allowed himself by faith to be made sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Even though we didn't commit righteousness.
We didn't commit any righteousness. He didn't commit any sin. So how is He ever made to be sin? Same way we were made to be righteous. By faith. He had to accept that glory by faith.
Yes,
God laid it on Him, but by faith He had to receive it. It says He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, sickness, disease, weakness, and pain, and our sins in Him and on Him own self on that cross. Now, and He was raised up.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God highly exalted Him and gave Him a name above every name.
Praise.
God loves you. He cares for you. You ought to just walk around the room saying this, God loves me.
Awesome.
God loves Kenneth. Oh, God loves Kenneth. Yeah, but nah, don't give me yeah, but I ain't got time for that. Oh, he bore all that and tore all that up and got it out of my way.
Yes,
God loves me. God loves me. Read the 17th chapter of John. The resurrection truth and the plan.
Hallelujah.
That never fails. Jesus became obedient to death, even the death of the cross, and this is absolutely the best news that ever hit the human ear.
Good news.
Amen. Oh, His grace, and all His mercy, and all His goodness. Get your hands on these things. Be in Canada, May the 12th through the 14th. You got to be there. We'll see you tomorrow. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right.
When He